Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me for just a few moments to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. This is an incredible verse of Scripture. Brother Tony talked to us in the Spirit of God today, without a doubt, about possessing what is ours, declaring what is ours, possessing what is ours in Jesus Christ. That's an important message for every Christian, every child of God. It's important that we understand what Jesus has provided for us when he went to the cross and when he rose from the dead and when he said, "I will not leave you comfortless," which in the Greek means orphanos. "I won't leave you without a father and without everything that you need. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'll send you another comforter, and he shall be with you, he shall be in you, and he shall abide with you forever." And what he imparts to us, the Bible said that you shall be endued with power when the Holy Ghost comes. Amen. Dunamis, miracle-working power, miracle-working ability. Initially, it is not power to do. It is power to be. Amen. After receiving the Holy Ghost, he said, "And you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." But then he also said, amen, that "as the Father has sent me, so send I you." Amen. He has the authority to delegate, and he delegates it to those that he sends. How shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? How shall he go except he be sent? How shall he hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? That's not just raising the money so he can go to a mission field. That's God's appointing and God's anointing for that purpose. Can you say amen? That's why Jeremiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Amen. So when God sends, he actually said to pray the Lord of the harvest, the Holy Spirit, that he would send laborers into the field, for the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. So this sending is not just for the prophet of old. It's not just for the preacher of today. It's for every child of God in the sense of being the witness and the ambassadors and the testimony to Christ that we all have to give. Can you say amen? It's for every one of us today. The Holy Ghost is for you and your children and as many as the Lord our God shall call to salvation. Hallelujah. So let's read this today. I want to talk to you just a few minutes, which you know that means nothing. I'm just like Tony. I'm glad Tony came today. I see the key to this. You're all going to gain. Like when Sister Venable said, "Sister Venable, sit out in the audience and point at your watch. Will you please? Will you please?" All right. Listen carefully. Yeah, they're laughing not because it's funny, but because it's true, right? All right. "But if the Spirit of him," listen to this incredible verse of Scripture. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." That's an amazing statement. "The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken." Now that word "quicken" means to give life. And in this case, it means not similar life. It means the same life. The same power. The same Spirit. That power that brought Jesus from the dead, that Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead, dwells in you and dwells in me today. There ought to be more going on in the church. I'm not talking about just a building, but I'm talking about in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ than there is today. Listen, "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Paul was astounded. He said, "What?" He looked out at a congregation in the first century church and he said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That the God of heaven dwells within you by his Spirit? Don't you understand what you have, what you possess? Can you say amen? Don't you get it? It's more than just speaking in tongues. It's more than a liver shiver on Sunday morning. It's more than just saying, come tie my bow tie and tell people think you got it. Can you say amen? You shall be endued with power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be, number one, you will be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. It's not just a toy to play with in many circles that people have tried to make the Holy Spirit. It's a tool to work with. He is a tool to work with. Amen. So if the power that raised up Jesus from the dead is indwelling the children of God, revival shouldn't be something that occurs on occasion. It should be something that occurs every time we come together. Demons ought to tremble when we wake up in the morning. Some demon ought to report to the devil himself and say, they're awake. They're awake. They're awake. And if they're awake, they can pray. If they're awake, they can preach. If they're awake, they can teach. They can bind. They can loose. Because the spirit of him that raised up Jesus is indwelling them. It's more than just going to church. So resurrection power produces spiritual oneness with the risen Christ. We need to realize the awesome implications of that great truth. You and I are promised an inexhaustible source of supernatural energy to enable us to carry out God's work. You and me. When I first got saved, I kept praying to the God who sat aloof in his heaven. And I really believe in this prayer because Isaiah prayed it before the Holy Ghost was given, before Christ went to the cross. In Isaiah 64, he saw the deadness of ritualistic, routine religious system, practiced perfectly with no seeking of God, with no true heart for God, and no manifestation of the presence and power of God. And he saw that condition in Israel. And he cried out in Isaiah 64, oh, that thou wouldest come down and rend the heavens, come down upon the mountains, that your presence on the mountains would cause the mountains to melt to the waters and the sea and cause the sea to boil. Oh, that you would come down. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? God came down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God came down, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. God came down, and he indwelt. You see, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, when Jesus said, it is accomplished, it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full, when he uttered that, the veil was rent from top to bottom. Not only now do we have access to the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can go behind the veil. Amen. When I pray, I know I'm praying mouth to mouth to a God that I can approach through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know I have his ear because I have his heart. Can you say amen? But not only can I go behind the veil into that holy place, but God can come from behind the veil and make my body and my heart a holy place that he can indwell. Can you say amen? No, we build great churches and we should. And there's a reason for the sphere that reaches up, signifying the heaven and the cross. Of course, we understand the reason for that. But some people think the building can become so ornate. There is a church in South Florida, near Miami. And when they built their church, they wanted to know how tall the tallest steeple was in the city. And they went to the archives. Their architect went to the archives. This is a huge church. It went to the archives to see how tall was the tallest steeple in that entire area in South Florida. And they said, we want to make sure when you build our steeple that it is at least a foot taller than anybody else's steeple. I do not want to sit and listen to a sermon from somebody that's concerned about the height of the steeple. I like what the Bourbon Street preacher said years ago that ministered to people on the mean streets of New Orleans. He said, you can build a church that is beyond any architect's dream. You can fill it with stained glass windows. You can have a choir of 500 people that sing like the angels of heaven. And you can build a steeple so tall that it interferes with satellites orbiting the earth. And the angels won't give a holy hoot until one sinner walks down that aisle and gives his heart to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. One church put in an organ that cost $1 million. For the glory, they say, of God. Incredible. Here's what God had to say in the old covenant. He said, heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me? I'd like to see it. Since heaven is my home and earth is my footstool, what can you build to contain me, and what can you build to impress me? Solomon's temple was the most beautiful, ornate building, and they put the best into it for the glory of God. And they dedicated that temple. And they all gathered within that temple, but it's an empty, cold building, beautiful, ornate. They did build it for the glory of God, but the glory of God hadn't entered it yet. But when they begin to worship Him, see, it's all about people and God. Not buildings and God and religious systems and God, but people and God. Not about structures, but people. God has always wanted to walk with His creation. And until sin entered, that's exactly what He did. But sin caused a chasm of separation between God and man. But at the cross, that great chasm was bridged by the death of Jesus Christ and His blood. And today, this God who could not fellowship us, this God in the old covenant that the linen veil was a reminder. It was like a big keep out, do not approach. It was so holy behind that veil where God's presence had an earthly manifestation to His covenant people that the priest could only go back there one time a year. He had to first offer a sin offering for himself before he could offer a sin offering for the people. Amen. And he had to go through ceremonial washings. And he had to put on particular, peculiar clothing to clothe himself. It's so holy behind that veil. It's so holy in the presence of God that even angels cannot bear that full-blown presence of God. The angels, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And I saw the seraphim, and they each had six wings. With twain they did fly. With twain, they did move around with two of them. But there was two more sets of wings. They were built into them because they ministered in the presence of God. And with twain, they covered their faces. And with twain, they covered their feet. Even angelic beings who have never sinned could not stand in that presence of this holy God. Isn't that incredible? And here we are today. Here we are, the blood-bought, blood-washed children of the Most High God. And the Bible said we have access with confidence. No fear, no trepidation. We have access. It's amazing that we have access to the presence of God. And we sit in churches and go through programs and rituals and routines. Amen. Somebody said 12 o'clock is when the church gives up its dead. It begins at 11 o'clock, sharp. It ends at 12 o'clock, dull. Can you say amen? The moment the preacher starts, little boy on Memorial Day said, Daddy, Daddy, why are all the flags and why are all the, you know, why are all the flags in here? And he said, it's Memorial Day. He said, well, what's Memorial Day? It's to commemorate those who died in the service. He said, which service? The morning service or the evening service? Amen. That's not, look what God's saying to us. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead indwell you, he shall also give not similar life, but the same life. See, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Brother Venable, are you immortal? My soul is. My body is temporal, but my soul is immortal. Don't think for one minute when I drop this body that I'm dead. I have already told my wife at my funeral, the last thing that happens, everybody normally is looking into that hole in the ground. And I said, I want you to get 7, just my choice, God's number. He loves it. I'm going to take it. I want 7 white balloons filled with helium. You know, the balloons that, I want 7 of them. I want somebody to have them in some kind of something to hold them with. And the moment they pray the last prayer, I want you to turn them loose. Because the last thing I want everybody to do at my funeral is not to look down in that hole in the ground, but look up, because that's exactly where I went. Amen. Can you say amen? That's where you're headed today because of what Jesus did at the cross. Hallelujah. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, he will live and listen. And then he walked over. He will never die. He will never die. D.L. Moody said, one day you will read that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it. I shall have moved up higher. That is all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. This is the promise of God. This is resurrection power. And it doesn't start when the trump of God sounds and the literal dead bodies are reunited with those spirits and that we're caught up to meet him in the air. It starts the day you receive Christ as your Savior. Amen? It starts when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. It begins at that very moment. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. For years, we prayed that God would rend the heavens and come down. After Pentecost, you can't pray that prayer anymore. Amen. Because God has come down. Amen. Revival is not up in the heavens, and we're not pleading for God to send it down. Revival is in the Holy Ghost, and he is here. And he's been here for almost 2,000 years. Can you say, man? And it's about time we catch up with God. Because he's way ahead of us today. Listen to what he said. This is incredible to me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In us. In us. In us. Jesus said, don't you even think of keeping the Great Commission until you wait at Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Don't think you can preach good enough. Don't think you're so good at giving illustrations and telling sentimental stories that you can do what only God can do. Amen. We're turning out preachers today that are the highest and best educated that we've ever had. But I'm not so sure that they're that dependent on the Holy Ghost. Because if a man is dependent on the Holy Ghost, you're going to hear from heaven on Sunday morning. You're not going to hear from his what he feels like would be appropriate, but what God has to say. And I don't know about you, but if somebody's talking and it just doesn't resonate with my spirit, even if they're saying good things, I want to hear what God has to say. I want to be challenged because I want to be changed. I want that fire rekindled in me because there's a whole lot of people that claimed, you know, Jesus said there's a church that has a name that liveth. The name represents this life that we're talking about. But thou art dead. You can't just have a name. Used to, you went into certain churches out of certain denominations, you could guarantee you're going to get in the presence of God. I'd get home from work, go to the church where I was saved. Church had been going for an hour and a half. Why bother going? It's almost over. It is over. It's been over for half an hour. No, not in the church I went to. No siree. We'd have a service. God would begin to move. Somebody would go to the altar. And the service would crank up all over again. We have come out 11:30 at night. Happy to be there. Wanting more. Wanting more. Wanting more. We canceled a Bible study here one night because Brother Taylor couldn't be here. And I came down here because I'd been somewhere else. I came here in case somebody showed up and didn't get the message. Somebody showed up. Sister Pat showed up. She come walking up with her Bible, and I said, well, they canceled the Bible study. She said, boy, she said, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, I want some more. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want some more. We'd had one of those Holy Ghost Sunday morning services, and she said, I want some more. How many's ever went to Golden Corral? How many's ever wanted some more? How many went back and got you some more? You know what's going to happen if we ever get that hungry for God? You know what's going to happen if we get that hungry for God? Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. If a little dab will do you, Brother Tony knows what I'm talking about. Does anybody know the hair tonic of the late 50s, early 60s? You don't know. You're just a kid. Can you say, you could be my son. I don't know. My brother from another mother. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, I'm 68. I got married at 16. My son is 52, 51. I'm old enough. Yeah. I didn't realize that. He is just a kid. Real cream. I still remember. I'll never forget. It gets in your brain. Real cream. A little dabble, do you? Brill cream, you look so debonair. Brill cream, the gals will all pursue ya. They want to get their fingers in your hair. I'm going to tell you, you use too much Brill cream. They don't want to get their fingers in there, boy. That's that greasy kid stuff, can you say, man? Yeah, that greased look. Slick, they used to call me. Anyway, God is good. Yeah, they did. You know what church is today? Get me in, entertain me, hold my attention, somehow keep my attention, make it short and sweet and get me out because I've got other things to do today. But when people get hungry for the living God and nothing else will satisfy them, they don't find it in the world. They don't find their satisfaction in if they had $1 million, it wouldn't be satisfactory because they have discovered that the only real fulfillment comes from God and comes from the Holy Spirit abiding within us and comes from Jesus keeping the promise, amen, that he made to the woman at Jacob's well. If you drink this water, you're going to be back again and again and again because you'll always have a reoccurring thirst. But if you knew who it was that said unto you, give me to drink, you would ask of me and I would give you living water and you would never thirst again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. She said, give me then this water. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think we understand what he has to offer. I don't think the gospel is presented in such a way that we are desperate for God like we need to be. When Whitfield preached, the Bible said that they came running. They didn't just walk down in their pride and their pomp and their ceremony. They came running to the altars. They literally ran to the altar. And they really tried to inquire some of these people that got saved under his ministry. Why did you run like you did to the altar. They said because we felt like the flames of hell were licking at the bottom of our feet. We wanted to make sure that nothing stopped us of getting to Jesus before we drew our last breath. They were desperate for God. You didn't have to promise them pie in the sky. It was better than pie in the sky. Can you say amen? It was the escape from hell and the promise of heaven. And I don't know about you, but both of those motivate me. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? We're trying to have a new gospel. We've got a dressed up cross. We've got to somehow find a way to appeal to people. And there's nothing short of a mighty move of God that's going to captivate and capture this generation. And that move of God has been invested in you and me. It's not waiting up in God's heaven. You cannot, after the cross and after the day of Pentecost, you can't pray, God, come down. Because He did. He has. He's here. When two or more of us gather together, where's God in relation to us? Is He sitting aloof in His heaven? And we have to try to get Him to look our way? No, when two or more come together in His name, what did Jesus say? There am I. Where? In the midst of them. In the midst of them. In the midst of them. How do you know He's here? Because when I came in here, He came with me. When you came in here, He came with you. Can you say amen? Oh yeah, He had to come with you because He's living in you. When Jesus walked, they thronged Him, wanting healing, wanting help, having needs, and they thronged Him. And they literally shoved the apostles aside, the disciples at that time aside, to get to Him. And they asked Him a very personal question, pertinent question. How is it that you will manifest yourself exclusively to us and not the whole world? We can't go out in the public without them swarming you. And He said, if any man keep love me and love the Father and keep my commandments, I and my Father will come to him. And we will make our... Come on. We will make our abode. That word abode in the Greek and in any other language means that's not where you visit. That's where you live. Anybody in here live somewhere? Amen? That's your abode. And God said, you know, I'm going to make my abode not in that tabernacle with the veil anymore. I'm going to make my abode in the bodies of those who have received my Son as their Savior. I'm going to cleanse a holy place in them that is so holy that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can indwell them. And the reason you know you're going to heaven is because what makes heaven holy has come to you. Amen. Can you say amen? 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 Golden streets don't make heaven holy. Foundations of precious stones and gates of pearl does not make heaven holy. What makes heaven holy is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And if they can come and live in you and live in me, then Christ in you and Christ in me is the hope of heaven. Can you say amen? And you can't separate them. I and my Father are one. And the Holy Ghost manifests and mediates the presence of the Father and the Son to you and me. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. We're going to celebrate a demonstration of God's power that absolutely conquered death and established Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of the world. And yet the Bible said the power that brought Him out of the ground is indwelling you and indwelling me. We talked about that, didn't we, last Sunday? And you said if he wasn't sinless, he couldn't have been raised from the dead. Can you say amen? And if our sins haven't been dealt with so effectively, amen, we can't be quickened by the same Spirit. But if the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and made a place, I'm not saying you can't stumble, fall, don't need to confess and repent. I'm saying God has cleansed a place in your spirit that is so clean that the same power that raised the sinless one from the dead is now indwelling your mortal body. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The same, not the similar, but the same power. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Venable, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because the same power that brought Jesus out of the ground is going to bring me out of the ground. Hallelujah. So in the old covenant, you could pray what Isaiah prayed, oh God, oh Lord, that thou would rend the heavens and come down and manifest your presence and power. We've got all the things going on. They were at the apex of the practice of their religion, but it was void of the presence of God. They built the temple. Solomon built a temple, said there never was a house like it. There'll never be one like it again. There's some big old beautiful churches today, but it wasn't nothing like that. No, this thing, gold and silver, wasn't in the pastor's pocket. He was in the building, and the pastor gave to build the building. And King David gave, who wanted to build it, but he said, if I can't build it, I can support the building of it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. They built a house like there never was one like it, and never will be, that man has built again according to the word of God. It was something to see. Even the people who worked on it were not just appointed, they were anointed. Carpenters with an anointing to build that sucker. Can you? I don't want to call it a sucker. You know what I'm saying. Amen. Carpenters that were anointed to do. Yeah, please help me out. Say shame on you, preacher. Thank you very much. I needed that. Amen. They built that thing with anointed. Even the people that sawed on it and put the hammers and the craftsmanship, it said the Spirit of God was on them. This thing was of God. And it was for God. But it was void of the presence of God. They got in it. They dedicated it. And then they began to praise Him. The priests began to praise Him. And the singers appointed to praise Him began to praise Him. And all the people that had gathered for the dedication began to praise Him. And the people who played the instruments, who blew the trumpets, they began to not just hit the high C. They begin to praise Him on their instruments. Have you ever been in a church where people wasn't just playing to you, but playing for Him? It makes all the difference in the world. Have you ever been in a church where someone was singing to you for your applause and singing to Him to bring Him glory? Amen. That person singing vertically to give Him honor, to give Him glory from the heart, they pull you into their praise. They just make you want to worship God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 It makes a difference. You sense it because God comes and manifests Himself to receive true worship from the heart. So when the sound of the priest, the sound of those who blew the trumpets, the sound of the singers, and the sound of the people became as one in praise to the Lord, the Bible said suddenly the Spirit of God whooshed into that temple and filled it so full with His presence that the priests and ministers couldn't even minister by reason of the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you ever seen an artist's conception of the day of Pentecost? These people are standing around, you know, looking holy and pious. Looking holy and pious. They're always looking holy and pious. Can you say amen? And it looked like somebody put a little candle flame. Little candle flame. Number one, the Bible said, they were not just dignified looking pious people, they came out of there as if they had been inebriated. How many was lost before you got saved? Wow, we got a bunch of people in here. How many ever got inebriated? I don't. He was the king of inebriation. Every day he came home and said, I had too many martinis. He ran into cops with his car. He did crazy things. Had to mace him and subdue him until he met Jesus, and Jesus subdued him. Hallelujah. Boy, God is good. God is good. God is good. You and me. No wonder the devil fights us tooth and toenail. Because he knows we may not get it yet. We may have forgotten it or never really got it. But he knows where the power is. He knows where the power is. God has invested it in you. He's invested it in me. Let me read two more scriptures really quick. Listen carefully. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that he executes from his throne. According to the power that worketh in us. In my name, you shall tread on serpents. Can you say amen? I'm not going to come down and take care of that for you. I'm going to authorize you and empower you to do it. Can you say amen? Behold, I give you power over all of the power of the enemy. Not some of it. This is not. Oh no. I give you power over all of the power of the enemy. In my name, you shall tread on serpents. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And if you drink any deadly thing, don't go drinking deadly things. That's not what he's talking about. And don't pick up no snakes neither. He's talking about the devil and his minions. And minions are not those little yellow things. Can you say, man, there's cute little. These are the demons that follow him. We've got authority over them and they know it. We've got power and they know it. Can you say, man? The only people who don't seem to get it. Listen, the devil believes and trembles. But the church is weak and anemic because she lives below her privilege of power. Say that with me. The church is weak and anemic. I'm talking maybe not your church, maybe not this church. Listen, we've all come short of what God has qualified us to be and called us to be. Because she lives beneath her privilege of power. Some people go to churches for the business connection. Some go because their Escalade would not look good beside your pickup truck. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. It just wouldn't look good. We had a guy come to our church. He heard the preaching, the teaching. He got excited about Jesus. He came to our church, drug his wife with him. She didn't want to be here, but he drug her anyway. After she got here and got in the presence of God, she found that it wasn't that bad after all. Amen. And so anyway, he told me, he said, I had three goals. I wanted to retire from my job, which he did. He said, I wanted a particular kind of car. There's certain kind of cars that give you status. Amen. Like certain watches will give you status. I worked with a guy, and he said, I just got me a Rolex. And I thought, if you work where I were when I was bivocational for a few years, he said, would you like to see my Rolex? And I thought, I don't want you to bring that Rolex all the way out. Somebody steal it and get broke. I mean, it's a Rolex. Rolex is a nice watch. Used ones are, you know, depending on the type you get, $15,000, $25,000. I mean, you can go right on up with a Rolex. So the next day, he come in. He said, I want to show you my Rolex. And I looked at his arm. I didn't see anything. I thought, where's the Rolex? He was so proud of his Rolex. He had went to Olin Mills and had a picture taken of himself. And he had on a nice red blazer, black pants. His hair was combed really good. And he had a picture of himself with his foot up on something. And his sleeve up so everybody could see the Rolex. He didn't have the picture taken so they could look at him. Did you hear about the yuppie that was in his Mercedes? And somebody T-boned him at a stop sign. His arm was hanging out the window because it was summertime. And it was hanging by a little piece of skin. While waiting for the ambulance, he looked down, looked around at the demolished car and all the steam and smoke coming up, looked down at his arm. He couldn't raise it, so he reached down with the other arm and just picked it up, and the Rolex was cracked and shattered. He said, "My Rolex, my beautiful Rolex." I mean, that's over the top, but you know what I'm saying today. There's all kinds of reasons to get that car, live in that house. There are trophy wives. You don't have to love them. They just look so, can I say hot in church? And you not take it wrong, hot. I mean, look so cool. Maybe I should use cool. Cool and hot are interchangeable depending on the situation. Amen. You know there are people, celebrities that, you know. I mean, remember the woman that married the old geezer? I mean, he was, I'm old, but I'm not a geezer yet. Although my son did send me a card one birthday. It said, it showed an old geezer with a cane. And it said, "Don't call me an old geezer. I'll hit you with my cane." Can you say that? But she married this old geezer. And they interviewed her because she was a beautiful, vivacious woman. And she's married to this guy that's old enough to be her grandpa's grandpa. Seriously. She said, "We're in love," with her diamond necklace and her diamond bracelet. And amen. People go to church for crazy reasons. One man came, and he came to Christ in a full gospel businessman's meeting, and I was there. And he was a businessman, and he said, "I went to church for one reason. Because I was a building contractor, and someone who owned a lumber company and managed it was in that church. And if I make connections in that church, then I'm a brother of his, and the, you know, and he's going to cut me a deal." People pastor churches for many reasons. So a pastor come to Christ, had pastored for 8 years in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He heard an Air Force colonel testify that God had saved. And when he started thinking about it, he graduated Bible college, grew up in a church, never repented of his sins, and didn't know anything on a personal level about what it means to be saved. But when he listened to this Air Force colonel talk about how God saved him and changed him, because if God saves you, he begins to change you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A change. If any man be in Christ, he's the same old wreck dominated by sin and Satan. No, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. Hallelujah. And he saw it. And when the altar call was given, a prominent minister in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was the first one to walk down and said, "I do not know Jesus as my Savior, but I want to know him." Can you say amen? So you can preach, you can go to church, and we can go through the motions, and you can be satisfied with business as usual. But remember this, amen, God is able to do a lot more, amen, than we're seeing occur today. I'm so glad to know the God of miracles is still alive. I'm so glad to know the healer is still healing today. I'm so glad to know that baptizer with the Holy Ghost in fire is still baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ hasn't changed, isn't going to change. Hallelujah. He was, he is, and he is forevermore. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And he's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. I want to read this from the Amplified. I like this. It's not just a paraphrase. It's just an expanding on what all of the Greek meanings are. Now unto him who by, in consequence of the action of his power, is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose, and to do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Wow. A God that big, a God that great, that cannot be limited by time, space, circumstances, demons, nothing. A God of the supernatural and impossible. But you know where the limiting factor is? He's invested that power, that authority in you and me. Amen. He's able to do this according to the power that he has in heaven. No, according to the power he's invested in us. According to the power where? That he's invested in us, out of whose belly shall flow rivers of living water. The one he's invested that well in, out of your belly, out of my. Have you ever started sharing Christ? Yesterday when I went to pray for Ida, for Pearl, I finally found a room and went in a room, and they had put on the gown and the rubber gloves and all the stuff to make sure no infection was transmitted either way. Even the nurses had to wear the paraphernalia. Walked over by her bed when I began to talk to her about the love of God. I'm going to tell you, it didn't just come from here. Came right from here. Praise God. Out of my innermost being, a river began to flow. Hallelujah. We used to sing it, didn't we? There's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captive free. There is a river of life flowing out from me. Praise God. If that river ever gets flowing, the devil has got something he can't stop. He can't stall. He can't handle. In spite of all that he does, we are going to win people to Christ. We're going to get the gospel to where God wants it to go. Can you say, man, we're going to live a life that is marked by victory. We're not going to see ourselves as victims anymore, but as victors in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this today because I can't pray Isaiah's prayer after the cross and Pentecost. I can't pray as if heaven is holding revival and we have to somehow get God to rend the heavens and come down. There came a sound from heaven. What was that sound? God's Holy Spirit coming down. They didn't just speak in tongues. There was other evidence that day that God allowed people to see. It's here today. You just can't see it like they saw it. Cloven tongues of fire. The glory that attends the presence of God because of his purity and his goodness. That glory was seen on the head of 120 men and women. You know what that meant? That meant the glory that filled that temple in the book of Isaiah had filled this temple. Had filled this temple. And that means that a holy of holies has been erected inside of you where God can come in your spirit. Your flesh and mine is flaky. But something has occurred in your inward man. And God said, I can come and indwell that physical body in that sacred place. Hallelujah. You're a spirit, soul, and body. And he begins in the spirit. Then you get renewed to what has happened in your spirit, in your mind. And then when your mind begins to tell your body what to do instead of your body telling the rest of you what to do or what it wants to do, can you say, man? Hallelujah. 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 Everything begins to change. Glory to God. Nobody told me who I was in Jesus. They told me a lot about who the devil was. Amen. Amen. But they never talked to me about who I was in Christ. So I prayed the Isaiah prayer. Lord, send revival. Lord, save the lost. Lord, come down. Oh God, we need you. My Bible said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he shall also give that same resurrection power to you and me. My Bible said, now unto him who is able. I don't doubt that, do you? I know he's able. To do exceedingly above all that we think or ask according to the power. Everybody got a belly pat it. Out of your belly. Some of the great revivalists of old, Finney said these words. He said, we keep praying. See, he had to see this before he could believe God for revival and lend himself to God so God could use him to help bring it. Amen. He said, we keep praying, God, send revival down. As if heaven is holding back that's necessary to save and deliver and set free. That heaven has it and God won't grant it till we twist his arm for it. He said, we're praying, God, send it down. He said, it's not in heaven waiting for God to send it down. It's in us getting ready for us to turn it loose. Can you say amen? So that's why Paul wrote Timothy and said, stir up. Stir up the gift that's in you. I know you got the faith to stir it up because faith was in your mama and your grandmama, Lois and Eunice. You can't grow up in a home and hear the scripture like that and not have faith in your heart. So use that faith, Timothy, to stir up the gift. Where is the gift? It's in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's base of operations is not any longer in the highest heaven. He has come down in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? If his base of operations is in me, if his base of operations is in you, then we need to set him free and let him work. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep praying for the sick as long as I got breath in my body. If everybody else quits it, you have not because you asked not. Hallelujah. Y'all prayed for a baby to quit crying. Devil probably tormenting it. I've seen that before, even in little children. Did God do it? Did it stop its crying, its whining, just going crazy? He did it. A calm came. A peace came. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 That's when what gets in of us. We pray to God and then we trust that God through us and God in us is going to work a mighty work. In closing, I've said this before, but it's so appropriate to these scriptures this morning. As we approach the resurrection of Jesus, we need to know how it relates to you and me. The same power that we're going to celebrate next Sunday, that same power has been granted by the Holy Spirit to those that trust in Christ. It's available to us. And that's what Paul prayed. He said, you need a revelation of this. In the book of Ephesians, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole host of heaven is named, that he would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you might know what is the hope of your calling, and that you might know what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. And are you ready for this? If you're ready, say, I'm ready, and I'll hurry and quit. I said, if you're ready, say, I'm ready, and I'll hurry and quit. She's ready. Rest of you, I don't know about y'all, but you want some more. But this woman said, I've been sitting here a long time. No, you're not. You're just obeying the preacher, right? Because I said to say it. That's right. You want some more, don't you? Okay. God bless. I want some more of this. I'm going to tell you, I get excited when I preach on this. When I read it in the scripture, can you say amen? Same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He will quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. He will give that same life to you, that same life to me. He's invested it in us. The devil knows it. He knows out of our belly it flows, or out of our belly it stays. He knows it. So he can't stop God. He knows it. But he works against you, and he works against me. And the day that we're satisfied with dead religion and religious entertainment, instead of the presence and power of God, that's the day he succeeds in keeping the river from flowing through you and through me. And the wonderful thing about it is when the river flows, when it flows through me, it heals me. It helps me. It encourages me. I can't let it flow to you without it. I can't let a river flow all over you and not get wet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So the message of Scripture is, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up. Here's the finish of that Scripture. That you might know what is the hope of your calling. That you might know what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. And the power to usward who believe. The power to usward who believe. To usward who believe. Believe on Christ. The power available to we who've trusted Christ. To usward who believe. Which he wrought in Christ. Everybody say same power. Which he wrought in Christ. Which you saw working in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Evidently they didn't know it yet. So he said, I pray that God would grant unto you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you might know what you have. Can you say amen? And once you get that revelation and it becomes a realization, then something has woke up to a reality, a spiritual reality that the devil would love to keep you slumbering, keep you sleepy, thinking that God holds it up there. And for some reason, he just won't turn it loose. No, he's already turned it loose. And it's right here in you, and it's right there in me today. Glory to God. He wants you to know it. And he wants you to turn it loose today. Hallelujah. Admiral Yamamoto, who led the attack, the aircraft carriers they left from, he were under his control, his authority. The attack on Pearl Harbor was a terrible defeat for the United States of America. It caught us literally with our pants down, if I can use that term. We were not looking. We were not watching. We didn't even believe it when somebody said they saw planes, blips on the radar. Couldn't be an enemy attacking us. They wouldn't dare do that. They lost, I don't know, they lost so few planes. They sunk part of our fleet and thousands of servicemen. And the memorial is still there in Hawaii. To that great day that will live on in infamy, that great defeat that we experienced. When they came back to the carriers, they were drinking sake, toasting one another with rice wine. Such a great victory. And Admiral Yamamoto was not drinking with them. He was not toasting. You know why? He said, in spite of this great victory here at Pearl Harbor, this is not the end of the war. This is only the beginning. And then he said these immortal words, I'm afraid that we have awakened a sleeping giant. Can you say amen? I'm afraid that we have poked a sleeping giant warrior that's mighty in battle. The little general, not the store that used to be around, But Napoleon Bonaparte, little short guy, the little general, conquering kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. One of his strategists, military strategists, came to him and pointed at mainland China with all of these resources to put on a battlefield, but they were not at that time warlike and they were not prepared unto battle. And they said, why don't we go and attack them next? And he said, no, let them alone. In other words, they don't know what they got, but they'll discover it if we go poke them. If we go messing with them, they'll wake up. And they will utilize their resources. And they'll put a standing army on the battlefield that we could not conquer. Let China alone. For there lies, here's the same words, a sleeping giant. And if he wakes up, he'll shake the world. Can you say amen? Honey, I believe down in the depths of the netherworld, somewhere down in the darkness, dungeons of hell, amen, the devil doesn't mind us going to church as long as we don't wake up. And that's why revival is always referred to as a great awakening, a spiritual awakening. Can you say amen? And Paul prayed, let them wake up to who they are. Let them wake up to what they have, because God has empowered them to shake the world. The church of Jesus Christ today is the sleeping giant. And if we wake up to who we are and what we have, we can still shake this world before Jesus Christ comes. Can you say amen? Would you give the Lord a praise today? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today. Chains are going to be broken. Souls are going to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would not be happy with a church of 500 or a church of 5,000 unless God shows up, unless God answers prayer, unless chains are broken, unless people are healed and people are set free. Hallelujah. Unless the name of my God is glorified. There's no entertainment offered by choirs and preachers. There's no buildings that attract me. I'm looking for where God is actively moving by His Holy Spirit. Can you say amen and changing lives today? Will you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask you, is there anyone in here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior? If God is speaking to you anytime during the beginning of this song, I want to invite you to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to stand with you. We'd love you to come to know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I know He's here today. He's in this room today. This is a holy week, and it's begun with the Holy Spirit moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.